Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond here on KLBB, Club 1220, Saturday afternoon. We're here. Tom, you're here.
I surely am.
The soothing sound of the Flashback Twin Cities theme song comes on, and we know it's 1 hour of pure radio goodness.
Right? I can't help myself. I actually dance in the studio to this song.
You do.
You see me every time. I got the same movements.
I do. Again, I'm threading the live studio cam soon.
It is on its way.
America. We have so much to talk about today. We have a guest today, Gary Lumpkin, who actually met Paul McCartney. We'll say he nudged his way into a big press party, and talked to Paul McCartney. He asked him a very odd question, which is what made Paul McCartney speak to him.
Oh,
we'll
really?
Let Gary tell the story today.
I also have to know, did he get a selfie with Paul McCartney?
Well, Tom, this might have been in the era when the selfie actually had to involve focusing and flashing. And hold on 1 second.
Let's try this again.
5 minutes here of, Cosby tells a great, some instructions when he has people come up backstage. He says, whatever you do, get your focusing, get your all your settings right. I don't want to spend time with you people and your camera problems.
Really?
Right.
Sounds like James Brown, actually, instead of Bill Cosby.
You know, Cosby can be a little cranky sometimes, too.
Well, he's just like anybody else. He's trying to get stuff done. He doesn't want to sit around for an hour waiting for people.
I can understand. And speaking of cranky, I got two audio clips I want to play, which involve cranky. The first is a fictional commercial for a real product. I post this to the tcmedianow.com Facebook page, which is just TC Media Now if you search Facebook, because I've seen this commercial for years. It's on many different clips I have, but there's a part of it that's very absurd. I want to play this audio clip. I'm going to ask you if you find this as absurd as I do. Granted, it is a dated commercial. It's probably 30 years old.
Hey, Cookie, more pecan sauce. This ain't paste pecan sauce.
What's the difference?
Cookie, paste pecan sauce is made in San Antonio with fresh vegetables and spices by people who know what pecan sauce is supposed to taste like.
This stuff's made in New York City?
New York City!
Get a rope.
Pick up the original pecan sauce. Pick up the pace.
Now, this commercial is funny. It aired for years and years and years. But if you think about it, they're going to execute this man because he gave them the wrong Picardy sauce.
It's a bit dark, I grant you, but what everybody, you can't listen to that and not go, New York City, along with them.
Well, see, that's the part that all remember. We forget the get a rope. This very elderly man is going to be either drugged behind a horse or something worse because he provided the wrong Picardy sauce. I guess it's salsa, right?
Yes, we've all been there.
We've all been threatened
by cowboys over picante sauce incidents.
I posted this humorously to the Facebook page, and I said, does anyone else find it disgusted or disturbed that this man is going to be ending his life because of serving the wrong picante sauce? And to our young kids out there, it's salsa. Well, apparently, I've been accused now of being the politically correct police here.
Sure.
I can't tell a joke, and I think they misunderstood my dark humor by posting this commercial. It was actually I've posted hundreds of videos. This has been by far the most commented video I've ever posted to TC Media Now's Facebook page.
Well, it's probably because, I mean, all those other things, you had to maybe watch a particular channel or a particular station at a certain time. Everybody over the age of, let's say, 25 has seen this commercial at least once. And it's kind of one of those that it's like, where's the beef? Well, how could you?
And just the record, I was not posting this to be literally disgusted by it. I just thought it was funny that we watch this commercial and there's going to be this execution that takes place a minute after we watch the commercial that is going to take
place.
You're
fine with it. It's just like,
oh, I'm fine with it. Oh, yeah.
This is a little dark. That's about it.
Speaking of dark, you know, we occasionally have off-air spats here at Flashback Twin Cities.
Oh, you and I have gotten into
fist fights.
Headbutts.
And, you know, in some days, and that's all a joke here in case I'm being taken very literally the last couple of days. I don't want people to be thinking that we have a tough relationship.
A tumultuous situation
exactly.
here.
There is a host in town. We'll name him. He's off the air. And I was Jason Lewis. He's been on the air in Minneapolis for about 20 years in two different stints and got a tweet last night from someone that says, good job, Jason, to show everyone what you're made out of. I thought, well, that's kind of odd. I, you know, did some searching. It looks like that Jason Lewis decided to quit radio. And most of them in radio, usually you don't quit. They quit. Radio quits you. And the other part about radio is usually finish up that last show, you give a little bit of a message, a goodbye to your loyal audience, and you walk out.
A good send-off.
Well, let's listen to how Jason Lewis did his send-off last night. I'm sorry, two nights ago. This was on Thursday night.
A choice that all people in all times must make. To fund the beast or to starve the beast. To host the parasite or walk away. To participate in a system that punishes the value of your own existence or to boycott that system. Ladies and gentlemen, I have now chosen the latter. They can now feed off one another. I quit.
Jason. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is James over at the network. This is, Jason's gone. He's just leaving the studio, and this is very awesome. Bear with us
awesome.
For a moment. I'm going to see if we can get Dan Convery on. He's a good friend of the show. Going to see if he's available. Sorry about this.
Depeche Mode to lighten the mood.
Looks like Connery says that he's able to come with us, so Dan, it's yours.
James, am I potted up? Are we connected?
Yeah, over here.
I was listening to the show. Did he really get up and walk out?
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when the host walks away. I'm thinking, knowing radio as well as I do, that there's a young guy producing the show that had no idea what was going to happen Thursday night.
I have a feeling he was just a producer. He sits back. He would basically do my job if I never talked, if I never said anything.
Right.
And the poor guy, this is probably one of his first stints having to cover. I believe he left about halfway through the show.
It, from what I understand, happened about 6:30 on Thursday night, and that's about an hour and a half into the show. It's a very odd way of ending it. He must have just been so angry that he decided that this is the end. I cannot stand 1 minute more of this process.
Yeah, well, I was talking on Friday with a few folks who come down to the station and do some shows or do commercials about it, and they're big fans of his, and they actually, you know, really respect it. He basically summed up in a 2 minute period everything he's been saying for his career on the radio and, you know, stood up for what he truly believed in and got up and left. It really stinks for the people on the other side who have to figure out how to fill a talk show.
And that's my take on this.
But,
and by the way, I
the guy made his point and stood by it. So.
I respect Jason Lewis. I've actually enjoyed his show. However, working in different businesses over the time, you know, my job at the mill and then, of course, the job here – you don't want to leave your audience and the people that you're working with high and dry. And
well, that's the thing. He didn't leave his audience high and dry. He gave his audience exactly what they wanted to hear and kind of led a charge. Hmm. It just, again, if you left now, I'd be left with an hour, about 45 minutes of time to fill.
Well, I was planning leaving a half hour into the show just because I had things to do today, but
don't you do it on me.
So that's it's some anger taken to a different level. I've listened to, and by the way, this is on YouTube. You can YouTube Jason Lewis quits. It's the first item that pops up. I've listened to it a couple times. I'm still trying to figure out what I get it. He doesn't want to pay taxes, and I'm guessing there's some part of the corporation he works for. I'm guessing there's a lot of layers to his decision.
I've been reading the articles about it. It's a national issue, not just an issue with like him right there.
Correct. However, I'm still trying to make, and again, under my limited intelligence, I'm trying to make what this is, what that was all about. It sounds like he has a website, another venture he's going to, and good luck to him and to the producer that was on the, and this is a national show. Recorded here. I'm sorry, Jason Lewis's show. It was broadcast from here, but it was nationally syndicated. So there was a man that was trying to figure out, well, you have an hour and a half of show left. And luckily, the way radio is, a lot of substitute hosts have microphones in their homes that they broadcast from. It sounds like they're in the studio. So Dan Conroy was able to jump in about 5 minutes and be the host for an hour and a half.
Well, yeah, that was the issue. I mean, Jason was not where, like, I would have been. It's the producer is in a whole different place, so he's asking over the air because he cannot talk to him any other way.
No.
Are you there?
I like when
this is embarrassing.
Jason. And I'm trying to think, did he watch him walk out, or was it in a different building, I wonder?
Wholly different building.
Speaking of anger, I'm not going to get too deep in this topic, but I want to play some audio that will lighten the mood before we go into Paul McCartney, which will be a good topic today. Our former governor, Jesse Ventura, we've talked about this, I think, with at least two guests the last
couple
months. Yes, we have. He did win his
Brian
case.
Brian Lambert, Ron Rosenbaum.
I don't think anyone expected him to win this case. I don't think anyone expected him to win the governor race either. He continues to defy all odds. This is the way I do want to remember Jesse Ventura. This is a commercial from 1984 for a Minneapolis beer store.
Minneapolis, St. Paul, listen up. This is Jesse the Body Ventura talking to you from the Chicago Lake Liquor Store across from Sears in Minneapolis. Where should you turkeys go to buy your beer? Chicago Lake Liquor Store. You can get the finest in domestic beer as well as imported beer. You can drink little bottles or drink it like the body does.
Chicago Lake Liquor is the number one beer store. They buy more, so you buy for less. Save even more on 3K Special. Number one, Chicago Lake Liquor.
Okay, that voice at the end sounds very familiar.
It's one of our former guests, Ernie Martz.
That's who I thought it was.
The Channel 9 announcer. That's always going to be the Jesse Ventura image I have in my mind. Even after he was governor, even after he's done some very interesting TV specials, that's always the Jesse Ventura persona I'm going to remember.
I think my parents are right there with you.
Yeah, he did prevail this week, so... Jesse, obviously very angry, feeling his reputation was damaged, but a lot of angry people this week here in our community.
Well, it's just going to be really interesting to see how this affects the ability to, say, make fun of or talk about public figures, because that was the huge reason why nobody thought he could win. Public figures basically are – it's open season.
It really defies all legal logic, and I'm not a lawyer, nor do I pretend to be one. But I think that your heavyweight legal experts, no one gave this even a chance to prevail. And it is interesting if people are now going to be more cautious of how they cite things in publications. And what – again, for me, it's what is the difference between a true nonfiction piece and then a little bit with some embellishment or a little – that blurs a line between – based on a true story or a true story. It's going to be interesting, especially with new media now, with all the blogs and websites and media outlets out there that have unfiltered text and opinions, sometimes masquerading as truth.
It could really make a huge change.
Well, you know what I should be right now? I should be a lawyer right now. We can be making lots of money on this.
Well, what's interesting is that he didn't win necessarily based off it hurt his reputation. It was the author's estate basically enriched themselves off of what was not true.
Well, this is not going to be a on-the-limb prediction. I think this book's going to sell some copies what happens. I think that.
Can you imagine how much the copies before the pages get taken out about Jesse are going to be worth?
In an odd sense, I think that everyone is actually going to succeed in this. Now, Chris Kyle, American hero, is not with us, so there's that. You know, I don't want to be insensitive to that. So his widow is not a winner in that sense.
No.
Nor does she win the court case. However, I do think, though, that a lot of the parties involved with this particular case are going to succeed, whether it be through book sales or through the talk show circuit. The people are going to want to talk about this for a while, unless we have something big that happens up this week. But you know what's big today?
What's that?
Paul McCartney is going to be in town. I'm going to be at Target Field tonight, not at the KLBB booth, which I don't think we have one there, but I will be at Target Field at a seat watching Paul McCartney. I've seen him a couple times before, so I actually thought I better get some good seats. You know,
did
who knows?
Did you buy the $900 ticket right in front of him, eight rows up?
You know, I didn't get that one. I paid dearly, but not that dearly. And I think that this concert sold out in 20 minutes, and I think that a good portion of those tickets are going to be for sale on the street corners of downtown Minneapolis tonight. Luckily, I have mine in pocket. I'll be there and looking forward to this. So why don't we take a break? We come back. Gary Lumpkin, a field host for Good Company for many years and a good friend of our show, he is going to talk a little bit about his experience with Paul McCartney. He decided to meet him, and he found a way to do it, and I respect that. And we were going to listen to some audio and talk to Gary Lumpkin. We come back here in Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB Club 1220. Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond again here with our guest today, Gary Lumpkin, formerly of Good Company. And don't quit on me on the next half hour here, because we need to go the full hour show here. And
I didn't know that's legal. Don't you go to radio heck for doing that, I would think?
Or? I think he might say the heck with radio.
Yeah, maybe
might,
that's what it was. I knew there was something in there. Yes.
That might be his – we're talking about it before your segment here. It's great to take a stand, but think about the I'm guessing a 20-some-year-old producer that's sitting in the control room, headphones, you're expecting someone to talk about their opinions for an hour and a half, and now you got to scramble to find a host, or do you pick up the paper and just start reading out the random stories and
get the phone book. You know, on the other hand, maybe he always wanted to be on the other side of the glass, and this was his golden opportunity, and he just winged it for about 30 minutes and did as long as he didn't do shadow puppets, he would have a chance. You know,
it makes for a great story. So whenever he goes to get that next job, it makes a great story. Hey, I saved the Jason Lewis show when Jason Lewis wasn't there.
I got to say awesome on national radio.
You know, that's
play some Depeche Mode.
We know that's what's going through our mind is the word, yeah, awesome.
This great. Is
yeah.
Awesome.
Hey, you know what's awesome, though, is tonight, Paul McCartney is going to be at Target Field, and it's got to be one of the biggest concerts of this area, being that it's Paul McCartney, he's outside at Target Field. We haven't had an outdoor, I guess Kenny Chesney was here last year, and I think that U2 or it was at TCF Bank Stadium, but we haven't had a great rock concert outside in Minneapolis and since the Met Stadium probably in the 70s.
Goes back a ways, yeah. And of course I go back with before he was Sir Paul. He had that little group he was with, and then he went solo, and we spent some quality time together.
Yeah,
so I've been waiting for him to come to town.
Well, you guys are going to catch up today before the show, right? You guys are on
we're going to have brunch,
right? Well, this is I actually have some audio here. This is from video that was supplied by your archive, and this has received lots of hits on tcmedianow.com. But we have your first meeting with Paul McCartney, and I want to play this audio, and this is going to be a couple minutes here, but it's worth every moment. Then I want to talk about the journey of going to L.A. and meeting up with your friend Paul before he was knighted, before he got all big on us, right? Okay.
Back in the day.
Enjoy that. Rest a Mexican meal.
Okay.
See?
Now, as you were saying before, we're going to be talking with Paul McCartney in just a moment. As you've probably seen Paul McCartney all over television. He's on Good Morning America. He's on Entertainment Tonight. He's on every show. And the reason, of course, is he has a new movie coming out. Now, our Gary Lumpkin went to Los Angeles. Here's Gary, because he went to a special party thrown by Paul McCartney and had trouble getting in.
hi, everybody. We are here on the street in Beverly Hills, California, in front of the Bistro restaurant. And behind me is Paul McCartney and his wife, Linda, because they've just arrived for a very special party. It's the premiere party for Paul's new movie, Give My Regards to Broad Street. As you can imagine, the security is incredibly tight, and to get inside is quite an accomplishment. But we're going to do it. Right now.
I'll have to be aggressive because security is so tight, only a few members of the media will actually get inside.
Well, this is the inside of the restaurant, but this is not the party. This is all the media people are waiting downstairs. You see, the party is going on upstairs right now. And this is a security man that's blocking the way, and they're only letting a few media crews up at a time. We may never get up there. There's got to be another way.
And sure enough, there was.
Oh, hi there. Now, getting inside where the actual party is going on proved to be a little more difficult than I thought. But I found a back elevator. Come on with me. Because you see, the party is on the second floor. Now, I don't know what's on the other side of this elevator, except I know we're going to where the party is. We call it... Hold your breath. Uh-oh, I see a chain fence here. Let's see what's happening. I think we're in.
And in order to stay in, I'll just mingle in the crowd a bit, because if they can't see me, they can't throw me out.
Well, here we are. We are inside the party. The old back elevator trick, it works every time. Well, that's obstacle number one. Obstacle number two will be to actually get to Paul and Linda McCartney, because over there in that group of people where all the lights are, they are in the middle of that, and they are just inundated with other reporters, photographers, you name it. Hey, we got this far. I'll get to them. Trust me. Watch. Excuse me, please. Pardon me, please.
And here they are. After several minutes of pushing through the crowd and several hundred excuse me, pardon me's, I'm right there. Next to Paul and Linda McCartney.
Linda, about Paul's suit, what color do we call that?
I call that green taffeta.
Green taffeta? You disagree, Paul?
Yeah, I call it green shot silk.
Green
shot silk?
Green shot silk?
That's what it's called. You make your own mind up, viewers. Just what is Paul's suit?
Is this a new trend, perhaps?
No, it's a very old trend, actually, this one.
I have one question about the movie. Judge yourself as an actor. What do you think?
I don't know.
Well, we haven't seen the premiere yet.
Okay, you tell me afterwards.
Not the movie. Just yourself as an actor. Movie.
He's good.
Well, I'll tell you, I enjoy it. So that's all I can say, really. I don't know if I'm any good or not. I don't think Robert De Niro has a lot to worry about just yet.
Well, you know, I don't think he's writing any songs either.
No, well, this is it, see? I'll see you a bit later.
Thank you very much. And there it is. A little chit-chat with Paul McCartney and Linda McCartney at the premiere party. Getting in was a piece of cake.
And it was lucky I got him when I did, because just moments later, Paul and Linda were coming back down the stairs, leaving the party, and on their way to the premiere of the film. And although they did stop for several more photographs, as it turned out, only a very few members of the media had actually gotten upstairs to talk face-to-face with the McCartneys.
And there they go. Paul McCartney heading back down the stairs. We were already up there. We already talked to him. Nothing to it. See you next time. Hey, one more question. Paul.
There you go. Your first of many meetings with Paul McCartney, your friend.
Yes, you know, it's funny because we really did sneak in. A lot of times we kind of faked and pretended and, you know, kind of embellished a little bit. But we really did sneak in. And the only thing that wasn't quite the way it sounded was where I was earlier in the story. I said, there must be a back way. Well, I had actually already done the interview. I had already snuck in. And then so I shot that part, and then we just, you know, put it in front of it. In fact, as he was leaving the thing there, and I pretended to chase after himself, then he was gone. That's when I actually did the part where I said, you know, there must be another way in, and I pretended that I hadn't been up there yet. But yeah, it was funny because I'm there in the where we're shooting, being shut out. And I'm thinking, God, we came all this way. And I realized, you know, what are the odds of, you know, getting in? It's pretty, you know, kind of bummed out. And my cameraman, bless his heart, Mike, was the guy. And he said, what about a back door? And I said, you think? And he says, well, I don't know. So we literally did go around outside the building, and I don't know why we weren't shot or arrested or tasered or whatever. But and there was this elevator, and we said, well, let's see what happens. And so that part was all real. We were pushing the elevator button, riding it really to see where we would get, and opened the door. And it, once again, there could have been Godzilla on the other side of it with you know, preventative measures to keep us out, but it wasn't, and so we really did sneak in. It was pretty cool.
Can't even imagine in this day and age having, again, it's a security detail that these rock stars have, or anyone has right now, politicians, you take your pick, to have any loose security points in a building.
Oh, Lord, no.
Even to get into these buildings. And you aren't walking around with a little flip phone camera. You're walking around with a big camera and a microphone, and I'm guessing...
Yeah, we were not really subtle in terms of inconspicuousness. I just made up a word, I think. But yeah, no, we're pretty obvious that we're media. But once again, you know, and the funny thing is, and I have discovered this too in other kinds of similar times, if you pretend like you belong, you can sometimes get away with it. And we sort of, once we were upstairs and past the elevator and into the crowd, we just pretended like we were supposed to be there, and we were never questioned.
Well, maybe that worked to your advantage then too. I mean, you were so obvious, they knew you weren't a problem. If you just went up there, turned looking around all sneaky like and looking suspicious with nothing on you,
yes,
that might have hurt you a little bit.
My question is, you finally get to Paul McCartney, your heart's racing, you try to get it in, you know, distance him and get a shot at him on the camera. Now you're talking to him. Was it a nerve-wracking experience? You have about 10 seconds to get something out there before he just says, you know, I'm done, walk away.
Yeah, and just to, you know, engage him with the suit thing, and I don't even know where that came from. It wasn't that I had a inspiration. It just was kind of weird looking, and Linda was happened to be physically closer to me, so I went through Linda and then through the suit, and then he thought that was interesting, I guess, or kind of funny, and he kind of went on and commented upon it, and then what do you think, viewers, and gave it that comment, and then he talked another question about his, you know, he took time to answer about, you know, his acting,
right.
And that kind of stuff, and then he says, well, you tell me what you think, I'll talk to you later. You know, he was okay. Jerk, you got me for a couple. You got me for about 15 seconds. Now goodbye. So he kind of blew me off.
So you didn't know what you thought yourself. Okay, if I get to Paul McCartney, here's what I'm going to ask him.
No clue.
So tomorrow, you know, tonight, if Paul McCartney comes up to my feet in the audience, I don't know. I'll have to ask him about the suit again.
I'm going to ask him about shot silk. Surprise him with your knowledge that it comes from the 7th century.
There you go. You know, when you do the job I did, I was lucky to do for all those years and stuff like that. Now later. Not all that much often, but sometimes people come up and say, hey, I met you back in da 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 da.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they will tell me about it. And sometimes I remember, but a lot of times I don't. And I feel bad that I, you know, and I don't pretend that I remember them or anything like that. I don't patronize them at all. But if I remember it, which I do sometimes I don't, I kind of say, oh, yeah, well, boy, it was a long time ago. I hope I wasn't rude or, you know, and I'll, you know, and so we have a conversation. But sometimes there'll be something unique that I do, in fact, remember. Not often, but sometimes. So I've always wondered if I were to meet him tonight, you know, and says, hey, do you remember the time when, give my regards to Broad Street, this guy came up and asked you about your green suit? Does that memory stick in your mind? And just in the hopes that, oh, sure, I've always wondered about that guy and whatever happened
to him.
Well,
see, don't bring up the movie. I don't think that was one of Paul's prouder accomplishments, so don't bring up the movie.
Good point.
Remember 30 years ago when you had this big gala and I asked for your suit?
Yes,
see,
there you go.
That might be more endearing. I think that was not one of his more
and rightfully so.
Revered moments.
Yes.
We all want to like it. You want to like this movie. It's Paul McCartney, but
I've never heard of it.
Oh, it.
I admit it.
I mean, No More Lonely Nights. That was what came out of it.
Well, it's. Don't rush out to the store to pick up your copy at Blockbuster, but it's online, I suppose, somewhere.
12, 13 years of good company. And was there ever a time that you were really starstruck? You interviewed tons of celebrities. Was there a moment that you thought, wow, this is really big stuff?
That was pretty close to it right there. I mean, a living Beatle, that's pretty close. Yeah, probably. But I get caught up at the time in trying to get something on video that's going to make a story, that my mind's working in two dimensions, really, what's going on and what I need to do to make something happen out of it. So I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun. But I'm also kind of in my mind thinking about what's going to happen next, and what do I pour? Does this piece go and stuff like that? So believe me, it wasn't that I was not starstruck, I'd have to think about it a while and before names come to mind. But that would be one of the top of the list.
Our guest today, Gary Lumpkin, describing his experience meeting Paul McCartney, who was, before he was a sir, he was a ex-Beatle making some interesting movies on Hollywood. The other audio I like about that is Linda McCartney. Is she doing a British accent there? She sounds like she's trying to do the British accent. She's from New York, I think.
That's
so,
right.
So she did the Madonna thing where all of a sudden you're with an Englishman long enough, all of a sudden you speak British, because it makes you sound more refined and more intelligent.
That's right. Yeah, that was noticeable, that her accent, very much like Madonna has become and so forth. Yes, I don't know if it was affected or genuine, but yeah, definitely British accent to some degree.
Did you ever interview Ringo? He was here in town many times. Did he ever come up into your vortex?
I had a passing "how you doing" that never got on camera. Once he played with the Ringo Star All Stars,
and it's traveling
All Star band, and it was called at down on Harriet Island once, so we were there. Wasn't doing interviews, and so as that literally 5 second. Hey, how you doing? Was not on camera. So that's probably not going to qualify for any type of interview.
Well, if you want to watch this full Paul McCartney experience with Gary Lumpkin, it is on tcmedianow.com. You can search Paul McCartney or Gary Lumpkin. A lot of Gary's videos and antics do pop up on tcmedianow.com. There's so many more to do. I want to play another one before we go to break, and this one is one we talked about the other night. It's one of our former guests and you. There was a period of time discussing radio. Radio has done a lot of unconventional methods of getting audio to the listeners. And one of them, which was infamous here in town, was a former city councilwoman and ex-wife of a governor. I think her name was Barbara Carlson. We've had her on the air before. And you did a profile on her. She was becoming kind of a national figure, not necessarily on the air nationally, but this, the idea that the governor's ex-wife had a 3-hour radio show every day, and then she did the Freddie shows from her hot tub, which when we had her on the air last year, I asked her if she was in the hot tub, and she said no. But this is our man here, Gary Lumpkin, interviewing Barbara Carlson.
Or Babs, as I like to call her.
Well, naughty or nice, her hot tub shows have become such an item that I thought I'd better come here personally to check it out. And I had no idea of just how tough it was going to be to get this story.
Yes, but it's
okay,
a
thanks very much.
It's a radio show. It's the Barbara Carlson radio show being conducted.
He's right on top of my show. Make him stop. I am a star here.
Just continue on being a star.
No, don't go over to the other side.
Barbara,
what?
He's doing his business.
Is he doing his
business?
He's doing his business.
This is how this man makes his living.
He talks
and he disturbs radio programs.
You know,
it's all right. That's why we like Gary Lumpkin.
Close the window.
We're not closing any window. Viewers want to talk to you. Listeners want to talk to you. Susan's not hitting me on the hand. Barbara's
saying, I want you to see your body.
I was giving you five. That's what I
want. No t-shirts.
Boobs and tummy and buns and everything.
No t-shirt. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk about power drinks. I've gone rusty in my hot tub.
This is
going to
be difficult.
Entire good company.
Getting out of control already. It's out of control.
So out of control that instead of her being part of my story, I became part of her show.
My God, look at him. Look at him. Yay. Gary Lumpkin is coming into my... Is your wash waterproof? Don't fall. Okay. Welcome.
Yep, and with that, I was in the tub. So, of course, we had to discuss the hot tub itself.
Now, telling the truth now, you've been saying you're in your hot tub, and until just now, you were on the edge of your hot tub.
Hot. It's 104 degrees in here. We were in
the
here.
Truth is, the truth is
she's
that...
She's got high blood pressure, and I take medicine
yes,
for it.
But
you
before
want
we got in
right
here...
on your show? It's my show.
Well, now it was really out of control. Susan was talking, Barbara was talking, I'm talking, we're all talking, and somehow, then we all started singing.
Singing Kumbaya. And that's how I ended my story... And Barbara was ending her show again, all at the same time.
There we go.
What was that?
She was doing her show live. I'm, of course, on tape, but I've got to get stuff going. And while it's kind of simultaneously happening, and
the best part was you thought you were going to direct Barbara Carlson in an interview, that you were going to actually have any bit of decision-making in how this was going to be conducted.
Kind of naive, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, you know, a little bit.
Yeah. How'd you like to be the governor and think you're in kind of charge of the state and find out, well, maybe number two?
I like the fact that, well, it's such an interesting way to get people, because she actually interviewed politicians and people, you know, notable figures. I don't think Arnie ever did the hot tub when he did an interview with her. I mean, he did interview on her show, but I don't think he ever did the hot tub. But I'm watching this video here, and we're not going to play the whole thing, but just people just in the swim trunks talking to Barbara, and she's, you know, and Barbara's not your classic person you'd expect to be in a hot tub, you know, with you doing an interview.
She does things her own way
very good, and her direction was very clear. There's no negotiation with Barbara, I don't think.
No. It's her way or the you know, whatever highway. But and I have there's a phrase that comes to mind, and it'll sound a little harsh, and I'll cover what I mean. She's large and in charge, and by large I mean out there, personality-wise. She is in control of the moment. She is out talking, out whatever.
And I think she'd be proud of that, actually. That's a compliment to her.
I mean it as a compliment. Yeah, she's great.
Well, Gary, it was so funny, though, when she was here doing the interview with us. Tom, I was telling Tom we need to go to commercial. We have a commercial to get. We had 20 minutes to get this commercial in. Never happened.
No.
We could not
create
a break.
No, I had
anywhere.
I had some ideas things to talk about, but we didn't talk about them. And you know what? It was a great show. It was good to have her on.
Oh, yeah. It was wonderful.
You know, we've had a lot of her colleagues on who have worked with, you know, directly with her, and that had to have been, if nothing else, a very entertaining experience, if not...
it was a hoot.
I mean, there's like seven people in the hot tub there together with microphones and radio equipment.
Well, once again, kind of that dual mentality thing. I'm thinking I got to ask some questions. I got to figure out how to put this together, ultimately edit it into a story. And it's chaos, and she won't shut up and is talking and keeps directing me to shut up. And who is this guy, and why is he here? And I don't want him to talk. And it was hysterical, and it just all fit together very nicely.
Well, let's make sure we get our second commercial break today. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Gary Lumpkin. I want to talk a little more about the Good Company days, and you know, all the stars and all the, and you end up with your clothes off quite a bit in these stories, so we can talk about that a little bit too.
That wasn't me.
Oh, okay. Flashback Twin Cities on KLB Club 1220. Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osman on KLDB Club 1220 with our guest Gary Lumpkin, field reporter of Good Company, and so many things you've done over those dozen years. We were talking last week a little bit about you originally were going to do a couple pieces a week, and it became so popular you were on 5 days a week doing a field report.
That's right. I rolled into town with the idea, based on what they hired me to do, of it's a daily show, and you can be on 2 days a week, or you will be on 2 days a week, and we'll figure out what you do, and you know, and kind of go from there. And about 3, maybe 4 months into it, if not sooner, it bumped up to 3, 4, 5. It went to 5 days almost, you know, very quickly. And then so I was on every day.
Do you remember the first? We talked about this a little bit last time you were on here about a year ago, but the first really dangerous story you did, because I'm sure people still talk to you when they see you, they recognize you, like, hey, didn't you were the rodeo, you were fighting
alligators.
Yeah, you were always doing stuff that you're, you know, swimming with electric eels, that you were about to be put to death. And do you remember the first one? You're like, what did I get into?
I absolutely do. I've been in town shooting stories less than 2 weeks, and we went over to Hudson to the what has now evolved into the world's toughest rodeo, but they had it over in Hudson, a rodeo, so I don't know, it seemed like a good idea at the time. I had been employed for about 8 to 10 days, mm-hmm. and I got on the bull and rode a bull. Now, obviously, I didn't do very well. I was bucked off in about $2 and landed on my tailbone, immediately rolled kind of away from – there's two parts of the story. Kind of rolled from where away from where the bull had deposited me and got up. Now, the first part is the next day I woke up, and because I'd landed so hard on my butt, I had blood in my urine. I had bruised something inside. So here I am. I am newly employed. My medical from this KSTP hasn't kicked in yet. It's a 30-day window. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have a kidney transplant. I'm going to be on dialysis for the rest of my life. You know, there's a lot of things I'm nervous about. And anyway, I called a doctor friend of mine and told him, you know, what's going on. And he said, well, give yourself another 24 hours. Athletes get blood in their urine all the time. And notice he said athletes, and he didn't include me as someone that should know that. And he said, and it usually goes away. The body heals itself. And sure enough, it did. So that there was that. But the second thing was, is I landed and then rolled. And I didn't realize it at the time, but and watching the tape afterwards, where I landed, it was a boom, boom, land and roll. The back hooves of the bull came down on that same motion right where I had landed, literally on the same piece of dirt. So once again, just dumb luck. I kind of rolled away. Otherwise, the bull would have stomped on me, and that was a split second. And in fact, the cowboys tell me, told me and stuff like that. Everybody thinks it's the horns. It's not the horns of the bull that's going to get you. It's the hooves. Mm-hmm. And so they said, and sure enough, it just dumb luck. I just happened to kind of roll out of the way. Otherwise, it would have had a lot more than blood in my urine to worry about.
But you got the videotape, right? Made for great video, correct?
Oh, it made a great story. Yeah, absolutely. Here I was, this new kid on the block, new story, new show in town, and stuff like that. And they're thinking, who the heck have we hired? You know, I'm thinking this guy is not. Well, there was a fella out at Shakopee Raceway Park. And he owned it and stuff like that. And I did a story out there. I think I did a couple. I did a demolition derby story, and I did a clunker. You bring the junkiest car you can and race it around and stuff like that. So anyway, I did a couple stories out there. The owner made a point of calling Steve Edelman and say, "What's up with this Lumpkin guy?" And Steve says, "What's the matter? Did he misbehave or did something?" No. His stories are he takes chances he doesn't have to take to get the story. Is there something wrong with him? And Edelman says, I don't know. We'll keep an eye on him. But so I made other people more nervous than me, I guess.
Well, you were married. Was your wife like, what did you do today now?
Well, yeah. Luckily, I came home each night, so whatever
especially
I had
as
done.
A father.
Yeah, so I came home each night, so that whatever was okay. But my daughter, who's now a mother of three herself, I wrote at another rodeo story. I got on the back of a buffalo.
Oh, God.
And bare back of a buffalo. Now, you know you're going to get bucked off. And now this one, the cowboys told me, said, now you're going to get bucked off. Okay. We don't, these buffalo, you're not going to stay on. But you grab onto that big mass of hair behind their head and just squeeze through your legs and hang on for all you can. It says, and when you feel yourself going, go sideways. Because the buffalo wants you less than you want him. So he's not going to come back on you like a bull might. He's just going to run off to the other end of the corral or the arena. And it says that, but the main thing you have to worry about with the buffalo is the horns. Okay, so sure enough, when I get bucked off by the buffalo, I progressively go further and further over its head, and I do go. It's like putting the front brakes onto a bicycle. You know how mm-hmm. it kind of stops. Well, that's kind of what he did, and I went over right in front of the buffalo, and sure enough, he didn't trample on me. He veered to the side and went away. What I didn't realize at the time was I went over his head and over his horns. Is when I stood up. My shirt was ripped open in front, so I had caught part of my shirt, kind of blousy stuff like that, had caught one of his horns and had ripped open. And so my daughter, getting back to why I mentioned her name, when she saw that story, she didn't, you know, she saw the story when it aired, not me coming home that day. She wrote me a note and says, "No more riding the wild buffalo."
Anyone ever said you have a death wish?
Well, yeah, a little bit.
I feel like someone might have.
It just wasn't the smartest guy of the.
Well, but it makes a great video. That's the problem. It makes a great video. You had to have had a well, the luckily an insurance policy afterward, right? Because I'm thinking to myself, if you're going to continue to do water skiing, hang gliding. You did hang gliding once, did you not?
Yeah, we did hang gliding. We did bungee jumping before anybody ever heard of it. We did hang gliding. We did free fall parachute. You know, they had this other kind of skydiving thing where everybody's seen the tandem jumps, right? Mm-hmm. Well, they had another kind over in Osceola where it's called accelerated free fall, where you're not tandem with another jumper, okay? You go off three of you. You're in the middle and two experienced guys on either side of you. So you're like three of you kind of free-falling side by side by side, okay? And they're holding you with their hands and then keeping you kind of so you don't tumble and get out of control. And then they tell you to pull your ripcord and then they separate. Mm-hmm. So then once you're under canopy, then you're on your own. You got to land and all that kind of stuff. Well, so we do this one, which is, you know, I thought that the tandem one had been done before, but this accelerated free fall where you're literally not tied to anybody else. They're just literally holding on to you with their hands, and then they let you go. Well, when it comes time to reach for the cord, I'm kind of reaching across my chest to where the cord is, and this guy keeps slapping my hand away because I'm thinking, oh, I'm trying to pull it too soon. No, it was time to pull it, but I was pulling the release of the parachute. I had my hand on the release of the parachute strap, which if I had pulled it, the whole thing would have come off. So once again, he once we got on the ground, he explained, you know why I kept slapping your hand? I said, it was too early. He goes, no. And then he explained what the heck was going on. I said, oh, well, thanks, dude.
Good to know.
There had to be some relief then the days when you're doing, say, for example, this year's prom fashions or, you know, swim trunks at Lake Calhoun. There had to be some relief. Some days like, I don't want to risk my life today. I just want to go do something silly.
Well, you know, the more kind of flamboyant, spectacular, death-defying, dangerous, death-defying is a little too strong, but, element of danger. People remember those, but those were really only maybe 10% or so of the stories. I did a lot of more mundane things. Like I covered the Aquatennial and the car shows and any event, any kind of show that was at the auditoriums, various auditoriums and arenas around town. We were at those things too, and home and garden show and everything like that. So there wasn't always thrills and spills.
So outside of the Starstruck piece we talked about, what is your favorite video piece that you created at Good Company that you could say, you know, this is one that if I had to watch it again or watch it or share it, this is the one I want them to remember?
I get a kick out of a lot of them, but I can tell you what was the most fun to do, and that was racing cars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've mentioned that before to you, but there was just something, and we got to go to Brainerd. We went to like Raceway Park. We went to a number of different tracks, Elko and stuff like that. And there was just something about driving a car fast with other cars
legally.
Next to you, and driving fast and other cars around you, kind of door handle to door handle. That was by far the biggest rush.
Especially in Minnesota, when even in the summer our fastest speeds were 20 miles an hour because every freeway is now torn up. So there actually is no driving fast anywhere. No, that's great. I think that video might find its way to tcmedianow.com pretty soon because there is a lot of Gary race car driving in the archive, which is.
Is there like a camera pointed right at your face as you're going, just like wahoo?
Well, we did one at Raceway Park with the camera guy. I'm belted in, helmet, and all that kind of stuff. And these cars, you know, they got the roll cages and stuff. But Chris, the guy taking the picture, is kind of laying in the floor. There's no seat over there, right? It's just kind of open thing. And he's kind of laying, kind of shooting back up. If you can imagine the passenger side laying in the kind of the area they're shooting up. And then to get a better angle, okay, he kind of puts his arm, his left arm, he's holding the camera with his right arm, if you visualize this, and he kind of puts his elbow out the window of the passenger side. And then he needs a better grip, and so he brings that arm back inside just as I hit the wall on that side of the car. So I almost took off Chris McWatt's left hand and arm by rubbing it putting his car between the car and the side rail.
Say I play that virtual one, that game one, and I always end up in the pit or I end up going sideways. So I just shouldn't be behind a wheel. Gary Lumpkin, thanks again for a great great show. Again, your friend Paul McCartney, mention his suit tonight when you see him, anyone. Mention, hey, remember our friend Gary Lumpkin? He mentioned your suit at 7th Century.
We talk about it all the time, he and I do.
Well, you guys text. He was actually calling you before the show's going on today.
Big on text.
This is Flashback Twin Cities. We'll be back next Saturday here on
KLB. Can I put my clothes back on now?
No.
Well, only if Tom does. Here on KLB Club 1220.